This podcast is being sponsored by the film Unsung Hero, now playing in American theaters. From the studio that produced Jesus Revolution and I Can Only Imagine, Unsung Hero is the story of the Smallbone family, which gave rise to Christian recording artist Rebecca St. James and for King and Country. Welcome to the Marry Your Best Friend podcast. This is season 2, episode 3. I'm John Stewart, and I am seated next to my beautiful bride of, well, heck, almost 35 years. Suzanne?
Yes, sir.
Tonight, one of us loves to argue.
One of us
also loves to forgive.
That would be me.
I don't know. And moves on. Doesn't hold a grudge.
That would be me as well.
I don't think so.
I totally do.
Well, tonight we're going to talk about arguments, bickering, fights, and all the other fun things that come with marriage. We've got 34 years of bickering, don't we?
We have 38. No, I'm sorry. 39.
We have been together a long time.
39.
And I think the whole point of having this, what was funny was the most recent TikTok that we put up there, or a reel or whatever the video is, our producer put up there, was where you were a little aggravated with me.
A little irritated.
Talking on the last episode about why I will not clean up the kitchen after you cook. And I don't know if you know this, but everybody was Team Suzanne. I didn't single positive affirming friend that stood up and said, John, I'm with you. They all were Team Suzanne.
Pretty much an ass, yeah.
And even, Absolutely. Okay, just on that one little clip, it was only 30 seconds, so that's probably why. But anyway, so tonight we're going to talk about arguments. And before we start, though, you saw that we gave a little free promotion there to a film, Unsung Hero, which you did not go see with me. The film is just opening in theaters here in the U.S., and I thoroughly enjoyed it. If you like, I usually make fun of a lot of cheesy Christian movies, but this one was really great. It made me want to be a better father. It made me appreciate you as a wife.
That's nice. I will see it at some point. I just could not attend.
No, you will see it last night. I went to an early release preview. A lot of our friends in Nashville have already seen it. People who have been involved in the Christian music business know the Smallbone family. I was blessed to work with David. The whole story is David had a successful promotion career in Australia, was promoting concerts, and the economy tanked right when he had the biggest Christian artist of all time come over and tour in Australia, and he lost everything. And the promoters held him to him, and he lost his house. He lost everything. He had six kids, and the movie showcases them moving to the U.S. To pursue an opportunity to build a better life. But as so often happens in life, plans change, and the opportunity they thought he was going to have didn't pan out. And so it's a beautiful story of a family. Sometimes it makes you appreciate going through hard times. And I think some of that will be talking about tonight.
Our plans are not God's plans.
That's true.
And we have to remember that often, that we are not the best planners, you know, and whatever I want is not always how it's going to turn out.
That's true.
And it's usually better if I just,
well, I'll tell you, I can't wait for you to see this film because, we are so blessed. So many of us are blessed. We're blessed with a house. We're blessed with great kids. But when you lose everything, I mean, absolutely everything, and, the family just came together, and it's a beautiful story.
Did you
and,
cry?
And I might have cried a number of times, yes. But David, I tell you, I love David Smallbone, and worked with him right when he was starting out in Nashville, and he helped manage an artist right when Rebecca was kind of getting her career going. And
how old is she?
She has to be 40 now or so.
I bet she's got to be older than that because, honey, we've been married almost 35 years.
And she was probably 10. Yeah. So I guess 45, maybe. I don't know. She looks great. So anyway, great film. Go see it. I enjoyed it. It's a good date night. I'm sure it's in like 2,800 theaters this weekend, and then I'm sure it will.
What did you see it in? What, Regal or
AMC?
AMC. Theater.
Yeah. But anyway, so let's talk about fighting. So fighting is a part of marriage, is it not?
It is. If you don't fight, like some people say, oh, we never fight, then somebody's doing something wrong. You need to fight. If you were just happy-go-lucky all the time and everything works out for you, something's wrong.
Well, I think
somebody is hiding something.
On the last episode, when you were a little aggravated with me, I think that, you know, our listeners and our viewers are finally probably realizing that we do fight.
I think anybody that's been around us for about 2 seconds knows that we
do. That's pretty good. Okay, so let's talk real quick. The producer gave us some great things tonight. So actually, before we start,
be very quiet.
We are products of our parents. We've talked about this before. How did your parents fight when you were growing up? Did they ever argue?
We've talked about this.
Okay.
My parents were very vocal and how do I say
this?
Did
you stay there and watch or did you go hide?
I did both. There were times, the older I got, there were times that I literally have stood between my parents, and my mom would be doing this and like trying to get dad, because she was pretty physical, but she was always, I mean, she's 5'5". She's a little hot minute, you know?
Yes.
And dad was big. And so he then would just hold her back on her forehead like this, and she'd be swinging. And then he would just laugh at her, and that would just make her more mad. But yeah, they didn't. There were no holds barred on their arguing.
What do you know? We talked about in the last episode was housework, household chores. In your mind, what are like some of the top things that couples argue about? Top three. What do you think?
Money.
Okay, money. What else?
Money. Probably you don't help enough. I mean, if anybody's watched
household chores,
Children.
Children. Okay.
And
you're pretty good.
Probably church or religion.
No, that's kind of up there. So according to the top three, according to psychologists, typically is like sex, money, and children. You didn't list sex in there because I guess we don't argue about that. But
I don't argue about it.
You just say no. But
sometimes you just need to be shut down.
Yeah, the 13 common couple arguments, okay? And we can talk about how to handle these later, but the 13 top
common ones. Because we're professionals and we know how to take
it. Number one was household responsibilities.
Yeah.
Another one on there is alone time. Couples argue about alone time.
Having alone time.
Yeah, like
one of us having alone time together or having alone time?
No, I need alone time.
I need to reset.
Yeah, sometimes they argue saying you've had too much alone time. Like today I had a cigar and I had alone time. But
ask
some
me if I had
argue.
Alone time.
You always have alone time. You get to drive.
Did I have alone time today?
I don't know. Did you?
I had 20 minutes.
Hey, how about that?
I had 20 minutes that I laid down on the sofa and turned on Family Affair so that I could watch a little bit before I went and picked you and J. Daniel up.
Family Affair, that's a nice classic.
It's always a classic with me, you know.
I do. Okay, so
for a new
so
TV
alone
show.
Time. Another one, communication styles, how we can communicate, handling emotions. Sometimes people argue
about
handling emotions.
You know what? I think we fight about that. Like
handling emotions?
That is in my, that's in my little journal here. Okay. Oh, yeah.
I did ask Suzanne to prepare today and bring her top three fights that we've ever had. So we're going to get to that.
And they all, well, no, one of them I wrote on here, but I think that I'd already mentioned this before, like early on and one of our earlier podcasts, but you are the one with all the emotion in fighting. I'm like my mom. I get it out. There's profanity. There's anger. There might be a little, I slap you or something. And then
a little,
and then like I got it out. Okay. Now we can talk about it. And I just need to vent a minute. And then, but you just kind of, you like dig a hole outside and put it all in there. And then later you go dig it back up.
Oh, I do.
And you, yeah.
I do. Okay. Next
one
is.
And you get your feelings hurt. Oh my gosh. With the feelings being hurt all the time.
I am an emotional male. Sex and intimacy. People argue about that. Jealousy.
I don't think.
We don't really deal with jealousy in our marriage. You're not really jealous of me, are you?
Oh, am I jealous of you? I'm jealous when you stay in those super fancy hotels and I'm like picking up dog poop.
I know, and I'd rather be at home. Lack of affection.
Sleeping in the guest room.
People argue and have arguments about lack of affection.
I do not have any qualms with...
With that?
With lack of... No, you are very affectionate.
Decision making. Like when one person makes a decision over another, like I bought a refrigerator, I did the like decision making.
That
like,
is also one of the fights that I have here.
Okay. Next on the highlight reel, finances.
The highlight reel.
People argue about finances. People argue about lack of attention, like they don't get enough attention.
People argue about
friends and family.
I think family's probably a big one, don't you?
Yeah, I guess. We never argue about my family. It's always about your family.
That's
so.
I don't know. Your family argues. We're just not ever in it, I think.
I guess. And the last two, work-life balance. People talk about, argue about work-life balance.
I can see that.
Not being home at 5 o'clock or whatever that is.
And I can see that. But the way our life works, I don't think that's really.
And the other one you mentioned was parenting. So,
yeah.
Okay. So, do you want me to go first? So, I did ask you. What
I don't want to be the baddie again this week, where I'm just bitchy about it.
We're talking about what top three or four fights that we've had, like big arguments and knockdown dragouts that we've had. Now, I will preface this by saying we've been married 35 years next month or 2 months, and like many marriages, we've had highs and our lows, and our lowest lows when we almost were on the brink of divorce. Literally,
we're not going to talk about that tonight.
We're not going to talk about that. But 25 years ago, we went through a really, really hard time, and a lot of people prayed with us. A lot of people went with us. We went through four different counselors. It took us years to work through things.
I think that's a whole different level of arguing and issues.
But infidelity in marriage is one of the biggest things that people break up over. Mm-hmm. Death of a child is another.
And I can imagine.
Having autistic children is another. But all these things... we're going to talk about more like the fighting fights. Like
the stuff that happens every day.
Yeah, the marriage fights. Okay, here we go. So the top five fights. Top five fights.
Top five?
Or three.
Did you write down five?
I have three. I actually have four because you said one may not work when I...
Well, you know what? I have four as well. And one of them might be one that we've talked about before.
Okay, so number one, you said was not really a fight. But when I showed up in the driveway with a new car that you did not...
I was... super mad.
We were only married a couple of years, didn't have kids.
No, yet. We were married longer than
5 years or so. But anyway,
yeah.
I showed up one day. I had always dreamed of having a Jeep. I always wanted a Jeep. I wanted a black Jeep. I wanted a lifted Jeep, all this kind of stuff. I wanted one. And lo and behold, I traded in our company, our family car for this dream Jeep of mine.
I'm at work. I'm teaching middle school, you know, the devil's age. I'm teaching middle school. I come... And am I driving?
You were driving the Escort wagon, I think, at that time.
Okay. So it wasn't the red car.
No, we had the Honda Accord and we had
like the Accord was considered the good car. Yeah,
that was our family.
That was the nice car. And we bought that when we got married. Or actually right before we got married.
We did.
And it was our first thing that we like bought together and, you know, all that kind of thing. And it wasn't perfect, you know, if it rained, sometimes water would come through the sunroof. Just because we had a sunroof.
But that was our first big purchase, too. Yeah, we loved that Honda Accord.
But I come home from work and pull in the driveway, and there is no Honda Accord. The Accord is not there. And I was like, well, where is our car? Where is our car? And you come home, and the car is gone. You have just decided... We're not going to have that car anymore.
I've always wanted a Jeep.
We're going to buy this Jeep. We're going to trade our car in.
Okay,
the first thing that we ever bought as a couple, we're going to trade that in. And I'm not going to tell you about it. I'm just going to come home and go, surprise.
I know my dream has been fulfilled.
And guess what? Your name is on the title.
Yeah, your name is on the title. I immediately said, hey, I need you to come down to the dealership. You got to sign the papers. Yeah, that's
because
right.
Because you couldn't get it. I had to sign. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, so that was a big argument. But I did
but
promise
I don't
you,
think it was huge I did because promise I loved
you,
it.
I did promise you that I would drive that till it fell apart.
It is in our. It is.
Yeah,
still
I still own it.
With us,
I still
yes.
own it.
it's
was
being worked on right
so,
now.
Wow, it's a 30-year-old car.
Yeah,
30-year-old. It's
three
on
engines.
Three engines, but yeah, we still have it. So,
and it's a blast.
Okay, another.
So
top
I don't think that was really a fight.
Do you want me to go through all mine, or you want to go one? You want to do one?
I don't know. What do you want to do? Would you like to ask the producer?
Yeah, hold on.
What's he
okay,
telling
yeah, he
you?
Okay, yeah, he says I should go ahead and go. No,
okay, you
okay,
go ahead and go.
Because you're gonna knock me out with a 1-2 punch. I already know this. If I don't get my words out now, you're about to bring up some real fights. So the other one was I don't know if you'll remember this.
I don't know what his are, by the way.
I don't know if you will remember this, but we had a Thanksgiving celebration one time where your mother and father drove all the way from Texas in 15 hours.
I don't think that's a fight either. How is that a fight?
You were so mad at me for 3 days afterwards. Your parents.
I don't think so. I was mad at my parents.
They got in the car and went back home before we even got to the turkey at the Thanksgiving dinner.
We've talked about this on here before, too.
I know, but you were not happy. So I can take that one off? That doesn't count as a fight?
I don't think so. I was mad at my folks. I was very pregnant, very sick. I don't even remember stuff that happened.
Okay, how about this? I roll in at 5:30 in the morning from playing poker all night.
Oh, that's a good one. That one, I had forgotten about that. Let me dig that up out of the hole. Yeah, well, that was a good one.
Yeah, so.
Oh, I could kill you right now for that.
But the whole funny thing was you found out that I won that night. And you took the money, so you were very happy about that.
Damn right I took the money.
Okay.
All night long. All night long, you don't come home.
You don't win and leave.
You didn't phone me.
I was playing cards.
You didn't do... You were one of the first people that had a cell phone back in the day. A cell phone that we could not afford. And yet, you could not call me and say, I'm alive, I'm not in a ditch, and I'm not coming home because I'm winning.
Okay, how many...
Nothing. I thought you were dead.
How many poker or matches off have you seen with on another TV woman. Or movies like Casino? Have you seen the guy goes, hold on, I got to call my wife, and he pulls up the phone? No. And you also don't... When you're winning, you don't leave.
I'm sorry. Did we live in Vegas? No. You didn't even tell me you were going to play cards. You just like went from work.
No, it was a work function. It was a sales conference. And I was told early on in my early career, literally, this was like a Roland Lundy trick. Uh-huh. Lose money to the sales guys. They'll promote your records. So I'm playing cards with all the sales guys.
I don't care what you're doing. You send me a note. I don't care. Pigeon carrier. I'm alive.
Okay.
I am not with another woman.
So I'm glad that so many years
we were married 2 years. I didn't know what I was doing.
Okay. So
I just knew you weren't home.
Okay. The last one on my list is
kick you in the balls.
Last one on my list was the day that you not only ruined the 18th green at the Legends Club of Tennessee, but also I lost my golf cart privileges for like a month.
That was brilliant.
No, it was not. No, it wasn't. So
again, that was also your fault.
No, how was this my fault? I was able to fly in early.
Before you do.
Okay,
stuff.
I was out of town on business, and I was going to come back late that evening, and I was able to be done with my work and come home early. And so I left you a message at your school.
Yes.
And I basically said, in mail speak, pick me up when you're off work. No.
Yeah,
no, I said pick me up at dark. Pick me up at dark.
At the golf club.
And so
where you basically live.
In my mind, I was thinking, oh, this is going to be great. I get home early. I get to play a little golf. My wife will join me. We'll have dinner at the club. This will be a lovely evening.
On the message, did you say, let's eat dinner together? Or, no.
Hey, you know what
I got in? No, all it said was pick me up at this time. Like it was my job to pick you up regardless of what I was doing.
Yep.
Or where I was, I could have had a rehearsal. I could have had a
well. All
a
I know is that, all I know is I'm playing golf with the golf pro at the club, and we're on the 18th fairway. It's a par five, and we tee off, and we're walking down together.
I didn't play golf. I don't know the
rules.
We're
walking down, and he goes, "Stuart, is that your wife walking across my green in her heels?" And
I didn't know.
I see you walking. I'm like, oh dear God, what is she doing? And you're like storming from me. And about 300 yards out, I start hearing, "You SOB, how dare you actually tell me to come pick your ass up? I have things to do. I got to get my nails done. I got to get my hair done. I've got appointments. I've got things to do. You can just find your own damn way home."
Boy, people are going to think I am just
Oh my gosh, you're horrible. And then I remember Kevin the best. You're like yelling coming at me.
I am a gentle lamb.
No, but Kevin the golf pro, you're yelling. He goes, "Can I go ahead and hit?" I said, "Go ahead and hit." So he hits like over you. But anyway, you leave me.
And you were angry.
But now what was really bad was
I didn't know what
we
I
had a
doing.
Car service at the time that like had like the sedans, like a town car that would take you to the airport and back. Mm-hmm. And so I called the town car guy, and I said, "Hey, can you give me a ride home? My wife has like stranded me at the golf club." And he said, "Yeah, but all my cars are booked. I'll send another one." So he sent this like 80-foot stretch limo with all the lights. So pissed. You're like in the house looking at the blinds going, that he's going to be walking home from the club. He's going to be coming out like some cat. He's going to drive him home.
Hitchhiking.
He's going to be like walking with his golf clubs and his luggage all out. You're like, and all of a sudden this limo pulls up. The guy opens the door, gets all my bags out. And you, that made you even madder.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because you always, this is exactly, my mom says this all the time. She would say it about my dad, but she says it about anybody that should get in trouble and doesn't. She says, they'll just come out smelling like a rose. That's what happened to you that day.
But I noticed that, like, in my mind, some of our top fights were before you had a cell phone. So maybe this podcast should have been sponsored by AT&T because now we don't fight anymore. So, okay.
So you're leading.
Hey, it looks like our time's up.
Do you have another one on your list, or is that it?
That's it.
You ended with that one.
Yes.
Okay.
Is that enough to? I don't think we need to talk about any more fights.
I have a couple on my list. I have a couple.
Okay.
I have one that's small that makes me look kind of jerky. Well, it just lets you know, like, when you get married young, you really have no idea what marriage is supposed to be and what you are supposed to be as a grown-up. Because we've talked about this before. I was super young. I'd never lived anywhere but college and home. So I was learning how to be a grown-up. Well, I thought we were supposed to do everything together. Mm-hmm. Grocery shop and go to bed at the same time and
yes,
all that stuff. Well, that was not your plan.
Ever.
So you would sleep on the couch all the time.
Because I would watch TV.
Watch TV, yeah. And it would just infuriate me because that was not how it was supposed to be. I thought we were supposed to go to bed the same time like they do on TV. And so one night I got really mad. Yeah, I went into your closet and I took all, because I couldn't think of what to do that would piss you off. So I went in your closet and I took all your clothes out. And you were asleep on the couch, and I just threw them all on you. And I said, fine, you can just live here in the living room. And you were asleep, and you're like, what is happening? So that was pretty dumb early fight that I remember. But
I remember one time when you were going to leave me. You said, I'm leaving. I'm out of here. And I sat on you, and you just hit me. You were hitting me and hitting me and hitting me. And I said, where are you going? You said, I don't know.
That was, you know what? That was the poker night.
Oh, was it really?
Yes. Okay, so that was the poker fight. I was so mad. I was out of here.
You were hitting.
I am gone. What are you going to do without me? But I think we have had a recent altercation here at the Stewart Farm. So I'll just tell the whole story. This was about 3 weeks ago. Am I correct?
I don't know what story you're telling.
So I had a previous engagement in the day that had been on my calendar. It was a facial. And so when you go to get a facial, they ask you to, well, they don't ask you. They insist that you turn off your cell phone because you have to be very quiet.
Can I tell my version of the story real quick?
No. It's my turn.
Let me at least, you're missing some facts here.
I haven't even got into it. This is the background. This is my turn.
Okay.
I have the floor.
I don't want to argue.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, I have a facial. You
keep moving, lady. This is a podcast.
Okay. I have a facial. You that morning say, I need to change cars with you because you had the little car and I had your car. What car did I have?
My truck or I don't know. Whatever.
I don't know because my car had been in the shop. So whatever car I had to switch with him. And
you needed my car because you needed extra seating or something. But anyway, keep going.
Your brother was coming. I don't remember. So I go to my facial and you text me on the way there and you said, where are you? And I said, I'm on my way. And you asked me where it was. And I said the name of the place and that you
would. Your version is so not true.
It is 100% true. So I drive there. I get there. I turn my phone off. Mm-hmm. I go in and she's a student. So everything's kind of like, you know, it takes a little longer and everybody has to be real quiet and all that. So I go in and you said, leave the keys at the front desk and I'll switch cars with you. So it was super crowded parking lot. And I told you, I am on this row. You can find my car here, yada, yada. Go in, get my facial. You start blowing up my phone because when I'm done, I look and I have, you know, missed calls from you. And then I go to the desk and see that you had, in fact, switched out the cars when you were telling me that you had gone to the wrong place, you didn't know where the car was, blah, blah, blah. All this to say that...
I'm not adding the truth in there yet.
This is all the truth.
No, the truth is I was in Carmel where you were going. You had led me to believe that it was at Hamilton Town Center, which is where...
How did I lead you to believe that it was Hamilton Town Center? How did I lead
you
to believe?
You never told me it was Carmel. Anyway, so I went from Carmel all the way back here.
I never told you it was in Carmel.
I scheduled everything over there so I could pick up the car. It was like I had everything planned. And
in
then,
your mind, you
and
had everything
I kept
planned,
calling
but
and
you
calling
never
and calling.
Told
you never answered. You never answered. I'm like, why am I paying for the cell phone? She doesn't answer it. Where is she? I need my car. I can't find her. I don't know where she is. I drive all the way from Carmel back over here, go to Hamilton Town Center. And where are you? You're in Carmel about a minute from where I was.
Because you
and
know
had
what?
You told me that morning
but
or the
you
evening
know what?
Before where this place had was, you, I would have been there.
Had you asked me mm-hmm. where it was, because you said, where is it? And I told you the name of the place. And
long story short,
didn't know that you would go to a different. I didn't even know there was a
miscommunication,
place.
But it no. all ended well. So we're great.
No, it didn't all end well. So all that happened. So I go out to the parking lot to get the car and I can't find it. You don't tell me where you park it. So I text you, where did you park the car? And you know what you text me back? And I can hear your voice saying it.
It's right there
in the parking lot.
Well, that's
what
was.
I got. Somewhere in that parking lot. So I walked up and down all the aisles and it was raining and I finally found your car, get in the car, come home. You are so mad when you come home and we're supposed to go out that night, out with friends or whatever. And then you get in, we are in your little car and you say, this is filthy. This is so filthy in here. Did you not
I had
know
just that taken I my car to be
hold
detailed.
Up, hold up. I didn't eat or anything. I walked on the parking lot and put my feet in the car. Am I supposed to carry a welcome mat out and with me so that I can put it out and wipe my feet off before I get into your car?
That's a good idea.
You were furious that I had walked on the pavement and gotten in the car. Like, you wouldn't let me talk. You wouldn't say anything. You were so mad. And then you just stopped short in the middle of 191st Street. Just stopped. We could have been hit.
Nobody was behind us. I wouldn't have slammed on the brakes.
You slammed on the brakes and you, I can't even tell people what you said. You were so angry.
Praising God.
You were so angry that I just said, okay, you just believe what you need to believe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't think people understand the capacity with which the anger was seething from your body when I did nothing.
Okay, I'm going to let this one go. You did nothing in that situation.
I did.
I should say that you did nothing in that situation. You didn't answer your phone. You didn't tell me where
I didn't
you
answer
were.
My phone because you I wasn't supposed to answer my phone. Okay, there are many, many, many times when you have when we have arguments
okay,
because
this story is
you
longer
get
than
your
actual fight.
No, this is a different one. That you get your feelings hurt.
I get my feelings hurt?
All the time.
Like right now?
All the time. That's usually what we fight about. Like, I don't know that I've hurt your feelings. Like, I don't know that I said something that's probably,
cutting.
You know, hurt your feelings. Mm-hmm. And I usually just say, oh, pff, grow a pair or
yeah,
that's what's the, wrong with you?
That's the compassionate response to a husband that's in pain. You know? When your husband is hurting.
But and you get your feelings hurt about everything. Blah, my baby.
Well,
you,
your husband,
just, all the
your
time.
Husband is in pain. You don't say grow a pair.
What are you in pain about? You're not in pain.
Some sort of emotional trauma that you have induced on me? I don't know. Okay, go ahead. What's the next fight?
That's the all the mini fights of where you've hurt, got your feelings hurt. So the other one, and I'm hoping that this is okay, because this one might evoke a fight later.
Oh, it might.
So I might need to be careful. One time, you were having issues with one of our children. Mm-hmm. And so it was very difficult in the family. So I went to our pastor friend who is legitimately my pastor and I made an appointment with him. I went through all the right channels and
this may bring up an argument later because
yeah, I'm kind of scared to talk about it.
You didn't come to me first. You went to the pastor to get his opinion. So you,
no,
you used him as ammo to get in a fight.
No, I didn't. I went to him to find out what I could do because he had counseled, mm-hmm. previously counseled this said child. And so I thought, well, maybe somehow I could get some help, some insight here because you're fighting, he's fighting, and I'm in the middle.
Was
so,
I not happy about it?
You lost control and told me Shall I read from my book?
Oh, you have it written down. You have it written down.
That you could never talk to him again because we were social with them, and now you could never speak with him again, and that you would probably leave the church.
Yep.
And that you would never, ever, you couldn't believe that I would have the audacity to go to him and talk to him when there could be anyone else I could talk. He was my pastor, and he had counseled this kid before, so I thought I was doing the right thing. And
you know what the good news is?
It's all done, and you didn't even remember that?
Taylor Swift has a new album out there. And it's a double album, and it is really good. Have you listened to it yet? It dropped on Friday?
No.
Okay, we're never, ever, ever getting
back together. Okay. And then my last one
You do have another one?
K-Trail's fight.
Yeah, that was a fight.
That was a pretty big one.
Yeah. When we decided to open a horseback riding
again,
business with our son.
The decision was made without me.
Actually, it was our son's dream. He said he would do it. And you lost it on me because you said, he can't do this. What's going to happen? You're going to be on the road. I'm going to have to take care of everything. And
what happened?
He did great. It developed a what wonderful
else
young man.
What happened?
Working. I mean,
you were on the road and I had to take care of everything.
He has a work ethic unlike many others.
He does.
Because he worked his ass off, and he is highly employable now because of it.
Yes, and the K-Trails decision also spurred on the arguments between you and your kid. So
yeah, everything's good. Everything's good, right? Taylor Swift, great new album. It's awesome.
So now, do I look like the
horrible? You know, I was reading. So you're not horrible, but I will tell you. I mean, things we typically argue about. We do talk about cleaning the house. We argue about money, insurance and taxes, because neither one of us want to do any of those.
Yeah. Did you do it?
No, not at all. I filed an extension.
Well, I'm not talking about that.
Oh, you mean the insurance?
The insurance.
We'll talk about that later.
we'll fight about that later.
You know what's funny, though, is like when we got married, we said, till death do us part.
Yeah. Right? do you think I'm...
No, but it's like sometimes when your parents are around, I always thought, they're getting close to that death thing. I don't know which one's going to kill the other one, but one of them's getting close. But
we're from Texas. It wasn't uncommon to see the rifle in the back of a pickup.
No, no.
You know?
But I will tell you.
It would be real easy to reach over and grab that.
We are not Mormon. We are not LDS. But one thing I respect about their faith is they have a principle where they believe in the eternal covenant of marriage. So when two people get married in a temple, their marriage is sealed and it's for eternity. Their kids are with them for eternity. We have a theological belief that we are going to be the bride of Christ, that we are the bride of Christ. And so our marriage is only on earth. But you and I kind of have a secret side deal that we're still going to be married. We still want to be married in heaven. But I think
we have a side deal.
We do. We have a little side deal. I'm still going to.
We fight a lot, but we love a lot.
Yeah, we do. But one thing I always think about, though, is people who have an eternal view of marriage, I wonder if they argue differently than others. Because it's like. Because
they know they can't get out of it.
They can't get out of it. You have to work it out. I mean, you were with that
person. I feel like you're not going to get out
sealed.
Of it.
I'm not going to get out of it here. But. If there's a chance of
one of us
leaving this earth, I would have freedom. I would have all that kinds of...
Oh, we've talked about that, too.
Yeah, we have.
I can haunt you. You're not getting any freedom.
But all I'm saying is, I wonder if, you know, our LDS friends, if they approach arguing in marriage and all the arguments of marriage differently because they have an eternal view. Like, I'm stuck with you for eternity. So, I don't know. Okay,
I don't know either.
I don't know.
I don't know. Somebody's all on once.
So some of the articles that we got here, what are the top three things couples fight about? I already read that one. 13 common couple arguments. We talked about that. Now, here's a couple things I thought was interesting. This one was from Fortune magazine, and it says conflict with your partner can have long lasting effects on your health. So maybe you are killing me with your
article. I think I kill you with kindness. That's what I think.
But what's interesting in this article is it says whether you're arguing about something as trivial as dirty dishes or as serious as infidelity, fighting with someone you love stings. In the moment, you may feel angry, alienated, and hopeless. But according to research, the effects of fighting can be long-lasting and detrimental to your mental and physical health.
I think that's absolutely true.
Do you?
I do, because I've always said that there are two people that can hurt me in this world, you and my mother.
Mm.
And that's it. If you say cutting things to me...
Did you talk to her today?
Yes, I did.
How many times?
Just once.
Really?
I'm just doing good. But you can say things to me that really cut deep, you know? And somebody else could say the same thing and I would just be like, whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Well, it was interesting because in 2018, researchers at the Ohio State University found that couples who engage in particularly nasty fights had higher levels of bacteria in their blood.
What the?
Which can make their way into intestines and cause poor gut health.
So we all have bad gut health in this house.
You think it's because we argue?
I don't know.
We got bad bacteria because we argue. This is particularly nasty fights. So people who are mean and nasty, they can have bad guts. So still more studies indicate that heated moments harm your cardiovascular health. So people who have heart attacks like during a fight and things of that nature, you would probably
that's a combine if you can hear that.
You would probably not feel good about yourself if I died of a heart attack in the middle of an argument.
No, I would be devastated. Yes.
Anyway, so it talks about, I mean, that makes sense that would be the case. One of the things that's interesting in this article is they're talking about when you're arguing, says talk about how you fight with your partner and agree on a safe word. Like people are telling people to have a safe word. Like you're in the middle of an argument. All of a sudden I'm supposed to throw out a safe word. What would your safe word be?
Can't say it.
What is your safe word? Do you have one? Are you thinking of a safe word right now? Mine would be Taylor Swift. What's yours?
I don't know. I think that's dumb. I can't do that.
I think it's dumb too. But anyway, next one on here. I mean, it makes sense. It talks about safe word. Well,
if you have, I mean, I guess if you get physical or something, or if you know you're going
to. It also says here, be aware of the four horsemen in conflict settings.
Of the what?
Four horsemen. The four behaviors are criticism, defensiveness, stonewalling, and contempt.
I think maybe I do all
so
those.
So it says be aware of those four. Have a safe word. Now,
I don't like arguing, though. I don't like it. I don't like conflict. I don't like confrontation. I don't like any of that. I like everybody to be happy all the time. I don't like it.
Well,
I think that's why when I do it, it's very, and then it's over with because I just can't stand it anymore. I'll push down and push down and push down until I kind of erupt. Like, I'll just take it.
I don't need to read you this whole article, but the Focus on the Family article talks about you can grow closer through conflict. They look at the positive side of it. And I do think about, I mean, there is makeup sex and there is feeling, you know, having a good relationship after a big argument. We are always talking about, like, at our lowest point of marriage, we never want to go there again, but we're thankful for the relationship that it produced afterwards.
Yeah, well, I think we grew as individuals.
Yeah, so growing closer through conflict. It says you need to move past behaviors. There's a lot of talk about if you need therapy in your own personal life, a lot of baggage from your past can be brought into current situations and current arguments. And so an encouragement there to move past behaviors.
I think we fight differently now than we did.
Do you?
20 years ago or 25 years ago, you know, I think that a lot of it now is not like, it's more of like what you were saying. Like, I know you're not going anywhere.
I'm not.
You make me so angry because you're so petty about stuff. And that just really gets my goat.
You did tell me I was a catch this week.
You are a catch. And what did you say? Because it made me laugh.
I said, well, I'm a catch and release. Because any woman that would catch me would pretty much release quick.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it also, last thing it said was connecting through compromise. Talks about, you know, just encouraging people to compromise and not be so strong on their way of thinking. This other one that I read I like is why fights in a relationship can be a good thing. And this is from Very Well Mind mental health website.
That's what I was saying. I think people that don't fight, something's definitely wrong.
It says why fight or how to fight in a relationship. And so it says choose your words carefully. Look at things from their point of view when you're arguing or when you're in a fight. Listen with an open mind. Make requests instead of complaints.
That's a really good one.
I think that's a really good one. Mm-hmm. And then it says wrong ways to fight in a relationship. Making threats, calling each other names.
Oh, see, I'm guilty.
You do call me a name every now and then.
I call you a name, yeah.
Yeah, so
And I think maybe it's just because I don't know how to get my angry out.
Yeah, and then making comparisons with other couples. I wish you were more like them.
Oh, we never do that.
We don't either. We don't really compare ourselves to other couples, but involving your children in disputes. People do that too. That's a wrong way to fight. Uh-huh. Another wrong way to fight is giving each other extended periods of the silent treatment. Do you ever give the silent treatment?
Do I ever give you the salad?
Once again, I kind of enjoy certain things. There's always an upside.
I've just learned, like the other night when you stopped the car in 191st, it's just like, that's when you just shut it down. It's done. There's nothing that's going to be said here that is going to be positive, or it's not even good. It's done.
And then we had a peaceful drive. It was nice.
Well, no, not really, but.
Okay, so
you woke up the next morning, though. This is what's funny, is you woke up the next morning and you were like, totally fine. Like, you didn't even remember.
I remembered it, but I don't go to bed
angry. Temper tantrum that you had. I didn't go to bed angry. I just couldn't believe that you were throwing such a temper tantrum. That's your whole thing. I think I've summed it up.
Oh, you have?
You throw temper tantrums like a toddler.
I do not like a toddler.
Yeah, like a toddler.
Sometimes I get so frustrated with you, I lose it. Like, I can't. Sometimes when you just aren't getting it, I've explained it to you like 5 or 6 times and you still don't get it, then maybe I do.
Hmm.
A little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I watched a fascinating TED Talk, and the lady's name is Fawn Weaver.
Fawn.
Yes, her entire TED Talk, and she's written a book, and she has public speaking about this, about having an argument-free marriage. Do you think it's possible?
I don't think it's possible with us. I think you are much too big of a personality, and I am much too flighty.
Interesting. Well, I'm not going to rob you of the opportunity to watch that TED Talk, but if you want to see it, Fawn Weaver,
argument-free. Do you think it would be helpful?
I don't think you'd really get it, no. But
would you be frustrated because I didn't get it?
No, but she's the one that wrote the Happy Wives Club. She's the happy wife from the Happy Wives Club.
Oh, I'd want to punch her in the face, I think.
No, but...
I can't stand...
She went through the TED Talk, though, the important thing is she doesn't give up on her identity. She doesn't give up on her opinions, like she holds on her opinions, and she doesn't give up her hopes, her dreams. but you know what? The secret, they have a secret dose of just, well, you need to watch it, I guess.
What? Maybe, tell me, what's the secret dose? What is it? Go on. Spit it out. Tell me.
No, I don't think I will.
Why?
I think I'll just save it.
Do you think it will hurt my feelings?
No, I think we'll start arguing about it.
Really?
Yes, I do. They have conversations instead of arguing. That's the whole thing. So, they have
I'd be happy to do that.
Okay, well, they have actual, productive, calm, respectful conversations to resolve the differences in opinions or goals or plans, for the good of the marriage. So instead of arguing,
I've tried to do that, but you get your feelings hurt.
You get emotional when you argue, too. Do not let anybody believe that you are not your mother's daughter at times. I mean,
I don't like that about me.
You can come unglued and you can just start blah, 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 blah. And it's like, and you're on it and you're like, oh my gosh, how do I slow down this train? Because this is out of control.
Well, you're that way too, though.
You throw things at me. You hit me. You call me names. Okay. Now, so let's go back to this. They have conversations
instead. Our house and like say,
but I think
I'm battering you.
No, but I think. For the good of the marriage, they have conversations. But that's actually what we're doing on the podcast. We're having conversations. We're talking. This is helping us not have a fight.
Now everybody knows that I'm terrible.
Anyway, the more I study, it seems one secret to having a marriage free from arguments is to have a marriage full of love, respect, and perspective.
I think perspective is probably the biggest thing.
You do?
Yeah, because I love you. And I definitely respect you, but my perspective on some of your, like what you think is important to you, mm-hmm. I don't have that perspective. And so I guess it's just hard for me to understand, like, why in the world is that causing a fight? Like, I've just said a statement before, like not even realizing what I've said. Because it's not what I think, but to you, it hurt your feelings or it, cut you. And so, I don't have that perspective.
Last question. I'm sorry to the producer because you didn't prep me with this one, but I'm going to ask her anyway. Now that we're in-laws,
mm-hmm.
How do you see our kids? I mean, like our loving married couple, how do they argue? Are they arguing like us or are they different?
Scott, well, I don't know.
She gets her feelings hurt.
She
pretty
is,
easy.
Yeah.
She's very emotional. Bit like you. She is. She's very sweet. She's very emotional.
John Andrew's a little bit more like me, maybe. But I don't know. John Andrew very quiet. Yeah. He's a pleaser. He'll do what it takes to make everybody happy at that moment.
And the good thing about him, he doesn't hold it inside.
No, he'll let it all out. But yeah, that is like me. He'll let it out, but then he's like, let's resolve this and I'll do whatever it takes to make it better.
He's lovey-dovey and wants to fix it pretty quick.
And see, I am that way. I am.
I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at you.
I am. I don't want people to argue. I can't stand it.
You are a pleaser. But you do love to argue.
I don't love it.
No, at the beginning of the episode, when I said one of us loves to argue, it was you. You love to argue.
I don't.
You bicker about every little thing.
No, you think I bicker about every little thing.
Okay. And what I think is not true?
People are going to think I'm just a bitch.
You're not. You are not.
Oh, no. I don't think I want you to air this one.
Oh, you don't? I think it's adorable.
I don't like it.
Okay, let's end on a happy note then. Okay? Are you ready to end on a happy note?
Yeah.
Okay, join us on the next episode. You really don't like this episode because we argued?
No, I don't like it.
Okay, tell me about a happy fight.
Because we talked about things that made us angry, which we have already dealt with.
Yes.
And I don't want to talk about it again, some stuff.
But the whole point is every couple should be arguing. Now, I know that TED Talk lady said that, you know, you can have an argument free, but at the end of the day, you live with another person. You're doing life with another person. You're not ever going to see things eye to eye.
That's true.
I mean, we're not going to agree on, I mean, I hope we agree on politics, but we're not going to always agree on politics. Mm-hmm. You might like somebody more than I like somebody else. We both believe in Jesus. We're both Jesus followers, but we don't agree on religion. I mean, it's like,
absolutely not.
I became a Catholic. You went through the process and didn't become Catholic. Mm-hmm. I still believe you're going to be Catholic someday, but the
even
whole point,
a few priests.
But the whole point is arguing how you argue is important. Getting it out. It also, I think some couples, I mean, like it or not, it's good that you're arguing because you have passion in your marriage.
Well, I have to be honest. I have to be honest here and say that because my parents argued so much when I was
now, first
home.
Off, if you didn't know John and Theda Hall when they were married.
Oh, everybody knew they argued. I mean,
but it was a comic. I mean, it was before reality TV.
Oh, it would have been
you could
good
sit
TV.
At John and Theda's house and literally just eat popcorn and be in the
and just watch.
Because there would be fights. There would be all kinds of stuff. And then she would go into her room and
Something
put on her robe.
Fly across the room.
She'd go in her room. John Hall would fall asleep in the chair and there'd still be an argument going on.
Yeah, I mean, but because they argued
But it was so
much.
Good. It was so good. It was the War of the Roses good.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was War of the Roses good.
Yeah. It was enough, though, that because...
And even when they were asleep, like when we were married and we slept in that room, in your old bedroom, which is across the hall from them, even in the middle of the night, you would still hear her slap him on the back. Tell him to roll over because he snored so bad. It was like, did they ever not argue? I mean, like they were... And then what was funny was when they got divorced, everybody's like,
Yeah, we just were waiting.
Kind of like, they probably should have got divorced about 40 years ago.
That's what I said. Anyway. But because they argued so much, I think that's... I wanted to please everybody.
Your
and
mom
so
still doesn't know how to watch his podcast.
I would push, and I still do. I push it down so far that then I explode, and that's why you get the things flying.
Things flying and things like that.
But see, now I don't do it as much. Now I just have learned to get it out, and I don't push it down as far, which I think is healthier.
I do. I think we should air this podcast. It's fine. Okay. You want to have an argument about it?
TCS could show up at that door.
Nothing's going to show up at your door. What's going to show up at your door? Our kids are adults. They're not showing up at the door. The only people going to show up now is police. I mean, like, there's no department. They're like, nope, you raised them. They're still in your house. They're not going to take our kids. Actually, let's call them and see if they will take our kids out.
Let's see if
we will finally,
Maybe they'll make them get driver's license and stuff.
Hold on. I love our kids. I don't want them to leave and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, thanks for arguing. Thanks for joining me on this podcast about arguments and fuss and bickering. And it's just part of life. And I'm thankful for you.
Oh, I'm thankful for you, too. I'm thankful that you put up with, you know, my creaky bones and my complaining and all that stuff. But, you know, I also give you some good stuff.
You do. You give me some good stuff. Okay, join us on our next episode when we are going to discuss the fact that one of us has become a cat person.
Oh, my gosh. Is that me, too?
Might be.
I'm not really a cat person.
Oh, dear God, yes.
I just have cats now.
You have 8 cats.
They're really not mine. They're our daughters. They found me.
I'm married to a cat lady.